It's time to travel to the next room with Jane Asher, an exploration of the bigger picture surrounding life on Earth and what follows. Now, here's your host, Jane Asher, on Empower Radio.
Welcome back to the next room. It's always a good day. When I wake up, I give thanks, and I get to step out in my studio. However, today's a little different. We have some workmen here, and so my studio is tucked in the corner of the garage, as you well know, and it's super loud out there. So I booted my husband out of his office, which is down the hall, and so it's a little different. I'm sitting in a different space, but what's beautiful about this is our huge ash tree is right out the windows, and I can just watch my hummingbirds and our beautiful finches, and sometimes we get this cool little woodpecker who's just hanging out. So it's going to be a different vibe today. My guest, very appropriate that I'm going to have beasties in my life today, is Sarah Seidelman. Sarah's been on the show before, but I wanted to have her back because she just is, in my estimation, one of the authentic, real dealio women on the planet. She's there, she shows up, she's present, and she's just doing a lot of creative, beautiful work. Sarah's an author, she's a life coach, she's a shamanic mentor. She's written 4 books, Born to Freak, Swimming with Elephants, The Book of Beasties, which I love, How Good Are You Willing to Let It Get, which is sitting right here. It's a daily reader. Not a day goes by that I don't read this book. Love it. She's even got a beautiful deck of cards that were created around How Good Are You Willing to Let It Get. And she has a cool little app. If you're more into the digital vibe and you want a little message from the Beasties, it's called What the Walrus Knows. Sarah Seidelman, welcome back to the next room.
Thank you so much. What an intro. You're so sweet. Thank you, Jane. I'm super pumped to be here.
I'm so happy to have you here. So many things are going on in your life. And I just want to start it off with, talk to me about the 100 Day Project. Tell me how it came to be and what you're doing, because I know you're smack dab in the middle of it and you make me giggle every damn day with those memes that you're creating.
Well, about probably like 5 years ago, I started noticing a couple people that I followed on Instagram doing these 100-day projects. And a 100-day project, if you're curious about, there's a website. I think it's the100dayproject.org. You can go. And it's just, it started as a Yale professor. It was a class. He created this project for a class is how it started. And he invited the class to create a project for themselves that they would do every day for 100 days. Consecutively that was creative, and it would take like 15 minutes to do. And I remember just watching people and being like, wow, I can't believe what they're still doing it, like 60 days, 70 days, you know, and they were coming up with like little pieces of art. One of my friends did these beautiful nature mandalas. She made a different one every day, and it was really amazing. So I decided I was eventually going to do one. And so a couple of years ago, I did my first one, and it was at the time I was really busy professionally, and I was missing spending time with my sweet spirit elephant Alice, who's a close spirit companion. And so I made a deal with her that I would visit her every day, and she would give a message that I could share with people, like with the public, a helpful spiritual message, you know? Mm-hmm. And I shared it with a little piece of art that I made, a really simple something. And it was so much fun. I mean, I loved it. It was very fulfilling for me. But then what I noticed is that other people were getting into it. And one day I didn't share a message because I was on, like, I was gone for the weekend. And somebody said, well, hey, where's Alice's message today? We're like, we're waiting on it. And I was like, oh, wow, people really like this. So eventually I turned it into a little deck of cards and kind of parlayed the messages into a 365-day a year book, you know, and it was such a joy. And so I think I love these projects because what it shows us is that we can create these incredible bodies of work in a very short amount of time. And most of us, I think, want to be creative, but we're like, I'm too busy, you know, or,
right.
Or I'm not creative. And what I think one or those, both of those things, doing the project will make you realize that neither of those things are true.
So from the very beginning, the first one that you did, ultimately, the How Good Are You Willing to Let It Get, the book that I'm holding right now, that was born because of that project?
Yes. So at the end of the 100 days, I didn't have the full book, obviously, but I decided that it kind of created enough of a structure that I was able to like expand it and then turn it into a book.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
In my group now, we have people that are doing, one woman is writing and performing a new song every day based on cards she pulls. Another person is doing food mandalas, doing a mindfulness food exploration. It is so cool. Oh. And I'm doing these silly self-help memes with animals, which I'm having a blast with. Like, there's so many self-help book titles that are kind of ridiculous or just make you laugh. And mm-hmm. so I'm making some art around those.
Yes, and they're salty as well, which I really appreciate.
They really are.
Well, you know, speaking of this book, I have to, I'm not kidding when I say this is my daily go-to. I read a beautiful book by Melody Beattie every day that I love, Journey to the Heart. I think I'm on my like third or fourth copy of that book, and it's dog-eared and highlighted, and I love it so much. And then this one is like, I pick this one up every day now. So this really goes and aligns with what you're saying. This was July 4th. It was called Tell It. It says, share your biggest dreams with other creatives, helpers, and healers who can really hear them. They will goad and encourage you into action. They will buoy and embolden them and their dreams, and you will do that to their dreams in return. So that's Alice's little piece of advice. And then you go on to say that it's understood that if you have a dream, whether it's a daydream, a night dream, or some sort of vision, that it was important to find someone to share it with, which will not only help deepen your understanding of the dream. In many cases, the dream is recognized to be one many others have been having, or the group gathering was called to see what should be done about it. So it's so cool. It's like Alice has this little piece of advice, and then you write your musing around it. And then you say, what could your creative confidant, or who could be your creative confidant for your current dream? And I love that, because doing something creative, we need a tribe. We need people that are going to listen and encourage us and not say, oh, that's stupid, or not even listen to begin with. We need people to listen to us.
Absolutely. And just to speak it out loud is so powerful. I've experienced this over and over again in workshops. People share their dreams out loud, and it's usually by the end of the night, the people are huddled around them. They're like, I know a guy who knows this. You know, people start to it just starts to this ripple effect, because people can't wait to help you manifest your dream, you know, and it's so exciting. And other people start to be able to see it. And sometimes we share a dream, like sometimes there's crossover there, and we can collaborate on a dream too, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it really is exciting. And this book is really super fun. And if you're wondering about any of her products and everything, just go to followyourfeelgood.com. And there's a page there where you can connect and purchase Sarah's beautiful art. And it's just it's a super fun book. It's got Alice the Elephant on front, which is her spirit animal, which I had gifted this to a friend. And she said, I just don't get the whole spirit animal thing. And I said, just go with it. It's not rocket science. It's not that deep. It's just about how we, you know, how animals or beasties can actually teach us lessons. Like, I feel like I learn from my little puppy every single day about mindfulness.
Yeah, I know. Dogs are so, so special. I feel like, oh my gosh, my dogs that have passed, I still see them on spirit journeys sometimes. And it's so neat, because they're just so loving and amazing creatures.
Yeah, they really are. And the other beasties too. It's like your book, the Book of Beasties is really fun. It's like a guidebook. So say you're out for a walk and all of a sudden a huge crane is in your path, or a raccoon or a fox or whatever. I immediately will come home and open it up to that page, and I'll read about the spiritual nature of each of these beasts. And what might they mean for crossing your path? What is it all about? And each one has so much beauty to it. There's nothing scary about a snake. They have a lot of great things to share with us.
Yeah, exactly. Like an actual snake, well, you should probably be careful unless you know exactly what kind
right.
it is. A spirit snake, the spirit essence of the snake is something completely different. I was thinking it'd be kind of fun. We could open the book and just ask for a beastie to show up for all of us who are on the call today.
Ooh, I love it. Let's do it. Do you have yours handy? Because mine's out in the living room. Good.
I've got it.
Yeah. There we go. Let's do it.
The peacock.
Ooh.
Ladies and gentlemen. And the themes are art of ceremony, self-expression, which of course Jane and I are expressing ourselves, compassion and pride. I'll read the brief, kind of the message.
Yes.
Peacock struts in ceremonially and with absolute grace to remind you that the eyes of compassion are always on you. Kuan Yin, the goddess of mercy, love, and kindness, recognized by many all over the planet, is often depicted riding on a sacred peacock with the hundreds of eyes in his feathers. Oh, I have the hearth in his feathers, representing the all-seeing eyes of this divine expression of the Creator's love. Peacock wants you to know just how beloved you are. When you can go out into the world with trust, knowing you are loved, life can become a daring adventure. It's time to step out with the trust and innocence of a child who has nothing to fear. This is a time to be bold. You may wander, but you are never lost. And saying yes to what's calling you will keep the all-seeing eyes of compassion upon you. Train yourself to recognize the loving eyes that are seeing you always.
Wow.
Me about what you're about to be birthing your first book and how terrifying and scary that is, and mm-hmm. how we have to trust with that innocence of a child who has mm-hmm. nothing to fear.
Yeah, because we can't possibly get it wrong, right? As you were reading that, I was envisioning like having the peacock feathers kind of come out of my backside and spreading them out. Like there's this great video that I keep seeing on Facebook over and over, and it's this gorgeous peacock. You've seen it, right?
Is it the white one?
It's incredible. No, this one's multicolored, and he just comes out and he starts slowly lifting up his tail and spreading everything out, and it is extraordinary. And I'm mesmerized. I keep watching it over and over. So I love that the peacock showed up for us today. Sarah, let's talk about, I know it was painful. I've lost my mother. That's what the next room is really all about, is my journey with my mom, both here and now and beyond. But also, you know, you recently lost your beloved mom.
Yes.
What have you learned, or what's your takeaway from having to say goodbye to your beloved mother?
Oh my gosh, such a good question. There's so many things that come to mind. We were very fortunate because of the pandemic. We were we were all home and were able to spend so much beautiful time together. And my mom she was a teacher, for much of her life. And I would say in the end, that is how she left also, just teaching us so much with her death and her grace and her like absolute faith. Was just quite amazing. And so her death was very peaceful. It was very beautiful. It was, of course, we were all, so sad. But when the time came, I remember my dad, we were exhausted because she had cancer. And so at the end, we were timers for all the medicines and taking turns sleeping and waking up and sitting by her bedside and all that. And I had gone downstairs to take a nap. And my dad said, her breathing's kind of getting slower and maybe you want to come upstairs. And I remember I came upstairs and got out my ukulele, and I had been learning all these beautiful songs like the last 3 or 4 years. And I didn't really realize until that moment, like why I'd been learning all these songs. Play them for her, and perfectly, no virtuoso, but it was just such a gift to sit with her and watch her exit her, like watch her spirit exit her body. It was such a natural, it was like watching a baby being born. I mean, I'm a physician, so it was like, it just reminded me like, wow, this is such a profoundly natural process, and there's nothing hear about this. That's what she taught me with her death. And then, gosh, what did I learn? I remember somebody telling me, like, when your mom dies, Sarah, you're going to be okay. This was before she had died. And I remember thinking, how do you know, lady?
Right.
But she was right. Like, I'm okay. And the next morning, I remember after my mom died, I was lying in bed and this breeze came in through the window and it just filled the room. And for a moment it was like, and I knew it was my mom. My mom was that breeze and she just filled the entire room. It was like my mom was everywhere and she was everything. And it was just like absolutely beautiful. And it was like such a, like a realization that she is just fine. Like I knew, just, I felt such reassurance in that moment. And I was fine. You know, grief is challenging, but I feel my mom all around me all the time now. In fact, as soon as you said we were going to talk about that, I felt like my mom just kind of pulled up next to me and I feel her hand. It's funny. That's what I see. When I feel my mom, I feel her hand is what I feel. Like we all have different ways of knowing how people are around us. And yeah. And it changed my life. You know, I'm sure this happened with when your mom died. It's like suddenly my life kind of upgraded because I just realized, okay, there's no more time to keep messing around. Like,
yeah,
you know, my time is coming too. And who knows when I'm going to die. So I can't really be beating around the bush anymore. I got to live my life. And yeah.
No kidding. How's your dad doing?
He is doing so well. He has a wonderful girlfriend and, you know, aww, he's still grieving. And but so it's like not like meeting somebody new who like makes everything 1000% better. But he's definitely doing really well and thriving.
Oh, good.
So that's such a blessing and a gift.
Man, that is just so wonderful. Thank you for
my sister's friend who's like 49. She's like, I can't get a boyfriend and your dad, and I live in LA and your dad is manifesting one in Duluth, Minnesota. And like, what is the deal? We were laughing.
Oh, your dad's adorable. I've seen pictures of him. He is just so handsome and so darling. So good for him. You know, life is for the living. And
absolutely.
Trust me, your mother had a hand in your dad having a companion.
Amen. I mean, she told him all along, you find somebody, you go, like you enjoy life. Like,
good.
Definitely.
Absolutely. Yep. That's great. And so the songs that you were playing your mother, were they old church hymns by any chance?
You know, there was a hymn that we got really connected with, but that was not what I played on my ukulele. What I played with my ukulele, one of the songs was, a beautiful Sufi song that a friend of mine taught me. And the words are, all I ask of you is forever to remember me. And I remember my friend playing this song for me and I just thought, oh my gosh. And it's really about the divine, is the divine, it's like this, you know, that anyway, it's just this profoundly beautiful Sufi song.
I love it.
I don't know. It brings me to my knees.
All I ask of you is for you to remember me.
Is forever to remember me.
Oh, forever to remember me. I love it.
Yeah. I'll maybe send you a link to my friend performing it. You can share it with the pod because it's the most beautiful recording.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wonderful grief song too. So for those of you who are listening, if you're grieving somebody you've lost, music is such a balm for that.
It really is. Good. Please do, because I can include that on the show page too. It just makes it easy if people can just click links and go find your books and go find your website and how fun, you know, you're right about music. I mean, I think it's one of the first things that I do when I'm grieving, which I've seen like we're always grieving, right? You know, it just becomes part of you. It's not something you get over. You just live with it. And the more that we grieve, we realize how blessed we are because we're so fulfilled with such bold love, right? So the more we grieve means the more love that we've experienced, or at least in my case, it's what I'm finding out. And
absolutely. It just becomes a giant gratitude fest. It's like, yeah. And I've learned through, you know, that grieving is like, we must grieve so that our children don't get stuck with our grief that we never felt or weren't willing to feel. There's a beautiful book called The Smell of Rain on Dust by Martine Prechtel, which is one of my favorite books about grief. And it's like sharing the traditions of Guatemala, where, you know, they have professional grievers are hired to come to the house to begin the weeping and wailing to get everybody going so that no grief gets unfelt. Like it all gets.
I love that. Oh, I love that so much. I wrote that title down. I've never read that book. It's called The Smell of Rain on Dust.
Yes, and it's kind of a poetic book.
Good.
And he's a shaman from Guatemala, and it's just beautiful.
Awesome. Good. Ooh, I'm coming away with all kinds of fun show notes. My guest is Sarah Seidelman. It's followyourfeelgood.com if you want to connect with her there. She's really pretty extraordinary. And full disclosure, you know, I reached out to her when I was in my creative process just to, I just knew, I felt like I had this connection with you and I just needed to talk to you. And it wasn't like you did any, you know, I didn't like have this big coaching session. You just listened. You just were very calm and you just opened up this safe space for me to kind of plop it in your lap. And then, you know, you came back with some beautiful, thoughtful observations, I guess. And you really helped me. I have to say that I'm so forever grateful for everything that you've done to help me birth something that is so important. And, you know, cause I'm doing it for myself. I'm not doing this to sell a bunch of books, although that would be great. I really am doing it for myself, which is really what, you know, all creativity, right? You do it for yourself to feel good.
You do. And it's such an honor. And I'm so grateful that was helpful. And we need like midwives. Like I know whenever I have had ideas for books, like I've needed somebody to listen and reflect back. And also it's so exciting when somebody says, yeah, you can do this. Mm-hmm. It's like, really? You believe I can too. And that's why we got to share those dreams with somebody who can hear them.
Yes. 100%. Well, followyourfeelgood.com. There's Born to Freak, Swimming with Elephants, The Book of Beasties. How good are you willing to let it get? And What the Walrus Knows, which is an app. And then she, of course, has a deck of cards. That's a super cool gift, by the way. I love to gift cards to people. They just, you know, because then you can just, if you don't have time to sit and read, you can kind of shuffle through the deck, let your energy get on every one of them, and then just let one, I always like try to close my eyes and let one flip out of the deck. And then I'm like, oh, there's my message for today. It's a really fun thing to do, and it's a great gift for people. So you can connect with all of Sarah's products through followyourfeelgood.com. Boy, quick half hour. I've got guys down the hall. You can hear them. I can hear them sawing away. We're getting a new heater, and we're finally putting central air in our beautiful little home. We've lived here in California for 23 years in this home, and obviously, it's getting hotter on the planet. And so I finally said to Tom, I go, that's it. We got to get this done. So lots of noise today. But anyway, it's going to be such a blessing when the house is nice and cool. Final thoughts for me. Anything you want to talk about, let it rip.
I just think for those of you who are listening, like it's not too late and you are ready to do beautiful and amazing things. And so, yeah, find somebody who might be able to hear what you want to, you know, what's bubbling up for you and what you're feeling like you want to do next and share it.
Oh, that's good. I love that. The 100-day project too. And it's such a cool, easy thing to do, but it is, you know, you are making a commitment for 100 days straight to do something creative. And I would think you would be forever changed at the end of the 100 days.
It will bring up your stuff, you know? And so it's good to just know that, like it, just because it's our soul's journey doesn't mean it's going to be easy. And you know, there's lots of naysayers and voices inside of our head that are like, don't do that. Or like, you can't write that, or you're not creative. All those critical voices. So we have to kind of face those, but yeah, it's incredible. Even if you did it for 30 days, what you might learn about yourself and what you're capable of.
I love that. Now, are you still doing work in the death and dying community?
I haven't done any. Well, I did do a workshop this spring, so it's I don't have any right now that are planned.
Okay.
But I do plan on doing my workshop again, which because it's just really powerful work to to face our death. I think is powerful stuff. And so I will continue to be doing that.
Good.
For sure.
You know, I just found the funniest app. It's called We Croak, and these kids, you know, designed it, and it's based on the Bhutanese, where they feel that to really, truly, richly live daily and mindfully, you have to face your death five times a day, or at least be aware of it. So what Yeah. So what they do is they send you these great little, it'll say you have, or you're all, you know, we're all going to die. You have a quote, and then you touch the app and it brings up really cool quotes, and it's not morbid, and they're not, some of them are funny. Some are thoughtful, just a really cool idea. So people are, the conversation around death and dying and what perhaps is next, is really opening up. And I just feel, I'm so gratified that I can be in this community and be able to communicate with people like yourself.
Oh, me too. Well, I'm just glad that it's coming to the forefront. And I think just bringing this death back into our communities and just talking about it, like, let's not make this a note, you know, an off topic or an off limits conversation.
Exactly. 100%. Followyourfeelgood.com. Sarah Seidelman is my guest. Lots of great books. My favorite, I'm telling you, you will not be disappointed. It's one of my go-tos, and it's short too. There's just cool little messages from Alice. And then Sarah will kind of, you know, talk about what she thinks that Alice is talking about. And then there's a little prayer always at the end, you know, just, you know, dear God, make me a conduit for your love and understanding. That alone, because prayer is so powerful, just ending your little readings with a little prayer makes me smile. So thank you for that, Sarah. Thank you for your creativity. Thank you for all that you're doing on the planet to kind of shake us and wake us and listen to us. You really are a gift.
Thank you so much, Jane. And I cannot wait for your new book. I'm so excited for that story. Aww. Yeah.
Thank you so much. You've been listening to The Next Room with Sarah Seidelman and Jane Asher. Followyourfeelgood.com to connect with Sarah. I'm going to put all the links in there. She's going to send me the link to her friend doing that beautiful Sufi song. And I'll put links to her books and all that good stuff. Coming up next week, I'm going to speak to Lisa Marie. She had a near-death experience. She's an energy healer. And it's a fascinating story. So join me next week on The Next Room. Thank you so much, Sarah, for coming on the show today.
Thank you, Jane.
Join Jane again next week for The Next Room on Empower Radio as she examines the beliefs, traditions, and personal evidence of connection with those who have moved on to the next room.